Scripture this morning, I'm going to be reading the white and you read the yellow. I always look at that one, so I'm going to look at this one today. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Okay, do you think we can do better than that? All right, let me start over. I must have been really low in my voice and that caused you to be low, and I'm so sorry for that. Okay, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another.
And heard them.
So a book of remembrance was written before him
for those who feared the Lord and meditated on his name.
They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts,
on the day that I make them jewels.
And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him.
Then you shall
be righteous and you're wicked. Between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Some amazing scripture, really, when you stop to think about it. I love this section because it's so positive with what God's going to do with them. And really, we can make a real good application what he's going to do with us. Because it's about faithful ones to him who listen to Malachi's words. And God listens to these faithful ones as well. Earlier in the book, it contained admonition after admonition in each section because of Israel's complaints and their bad thinking, their bad attitudes, resulting in not keeping trust in God, which caused them to get sloppy and shipwrecked in their faith. Let me give you just a few of those accusations because I think they are so appropriate for today. One of the questions they ask when God said he loved them is, in what way have you loved us? They ask that to God. I think their thinking is, you don't really love us, or we wouldn't have all these problems. Everything would be going fine. And maybe today, a loving God would not do that. Right? How many times have you heard that? A loving God would. Second one, in what way have we defiled you? And they're thinking, why should we give you our best animal sacrifices when you aren't giving us your best? And today it might be, why should I give my money to God when it won't be spent right? The third one, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord and he delights in them. And their thinking is, because they can get away with it, and we don't, so you must delight in the sinner. And today we might say, is God really there? The next one, where is the justice of God? They're thinking, why don't you answer our demands? And today I think it's exactly the same thing, isn't it? Why don't you answer our demands, God? And the last one, it is useless to serve God. Their thinking is, it doesn't do any good because you aren't really listening to us. And today I think it's the same thing, and I want to capitalize on that particular one. That's a snapshot of today's church as well as Malachi's day when you stop to think about it. What can God do for me? Right? What can God do for me? I became a Christian, so now what are you going to do for me? I think probably we could even say this. You know, Amazon gives me a one-day turnaround when I ask for something. Why doesn't God give me a one-day turnaround? I give my time by coming to church, and yet there is injustice and unfairness towards me. So to them, it seems like God is doing nothing, like he's not listening or doesn't seem to care. So let's just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Ecclesiastes.
So there we are saying, hey, Grandpa, blah, blah, blah. Frankenstein, I'm going to find that bacon, and I'm going to eat it. I may even throw a bacon party. I'll invite everyone in the office to come. I mean, who doesn't love bacon? Oh, I'm so going to get that raise.
Blah, blah. We love him so much.
Well, that reminds me of the time we went camping. I took 3 pounds of bacon, just in case there were bears. Went out to the Okie Dokie River.
Here we go. Another Jerry story.
I would rather cram a miniature replica statue of the Empire State Building into my ear than listen to this garbage. Surely. Surely they make adult-sized underrooms somewhere.
Man, I love camping.
Oh, hey, how about those TPS reports, huh?
Do you ever feel like God is preoccupied and not listening to you? That he sits up in heaven and he's thinking, well, I really need to take care of South America problems, and we're praying, oh, Lord, just help us with the car payment, whatever it may be in our life. And maybe he's thinking about something else. I don't really think so, according to the Word. Let's reread and re-listen to verse 16 to see if he is really listening to you. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like you are one of those who fears the Lord, who fears and respects the Lord? Sometimes I wonder if those who went against God could even hear him, thinking he's more than a distant concept rather than a living God. He's a great guy in the sky, but he's so busy he doesn't have time to listen to us. So he becomes an option in our thinking, along with other philosophies that sound just as good. But look at today's scripture. Can you hear and understand God's words? It says that he listened to them, but it is even more than that. He heard them. He listened and he heard. And when he heard them talk to each other in a positive, godly, honoring way, the Lord moved to record in a book what they said to each other. A book of remembrance, he calls it, a book of inheritance, a book of memorial. With all that they were going through in those days, it had to be pretty tough. Tough to put their trust in him because it was because of their fear and respect for him that God listened. You know, anyone can gripe, right? Anybody have a problem with not griping? And you need maybe some coaching? Isn't that crazy? It comes so natural because we are a judgmental group of people. And you know, I've been very impacted because I have been looking on the internet for something, and I saw a Christian musician, and then I looked underneath, and all these Christians are dogging them because they're not using the right Christian words. I think, really? Is that what Christianity has come to, is stabbing each other in the back? But here's a thought. Who am I and who are you to say anything against God? Anything against God. Especially if it's questioning his integrity. And these God-fearing people talked among themselves, and they were building each other up just like God tells us to do in the church. And they found praise and thanksgiving and honor to him in spite of their circumstances. And all the time, he is not just hearing them, but records their words in a book of remembrance. Because They were the ones that listened to God through Malachi, and they reacted in faith with respect towards God. Because there is always a remnant in the Bible. Do you know that? Always a remnant, no matter how bad it gets on this earth, there's always a remnant of believers. Listen to this when Paul talks about Elijah. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. He says this. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And don't you feel that way sometimes, like Elijah? Like you're the only one? And you aren't. Because there is always, always, always a remnant, a faithful people to God through hard times. And we have to remember that, and we need to be that, right? We need to be that remnant. You know, Christmas night, Debbie and I had a couple people over for dinner, and we began to talk about the perverseness of people because we had different people in different jobs and some of the things that are going on with people. And this perverseness of people are like they're right in what they do. They're right in our country. How we are being bombarded, and I want to say brainwashed, through television and movies and books and whatever, that evil, as though deviant sin, is the righteous goal. It's honorable and held in esteem, and their curse be upon us rather than upon them. It kind of took me back in one sense that the goal seems to be how evil and sin perverted can people become legally. The key words here is Noah and the flood. That those around us in the world celebrate the perverted and reject the righteous. And that's just what Malachi is dealing with. And guess what? That's what we're dealing with. So I woke up in the middle of the night after that conversation and thought about how freedom of religion has become freedom from religion and a small perversion of what was meant to meet their goal. The notion that somehow they can silence you and I because those of us who fear God will, by our life and behavior, hinder their goal. So it brought to mind to me a movie called Holiday Inn. Do many of you know who Holiday Inn is? Yeah, Deb and I watch that every Christmas, all right? It stars Bing Crosby and Fred Astaire and Marjorie Reynolds. And Bing Crosby sings a song called The Song of Freedom by Irving Berlin. And it goes like this. I'm singing a song of freedom for all people who cry out to be free. Free to sail the seven seas, free to worship as we, excuse me, as we please. If the birds up in the trees can be free, why can't we? In the line, free to worship as we please, is one of those lines that has stuck with me since my first time watching that movie. We are free to worship. But make no mistake, we are directly in the way of the world's goal. Jesus said, blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. The Bible says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is life. And I'm sure in Malachi's day, the exact same things were happening back then. And that they turned to God and didn't participate in the wickedness. In Malachi quotes God and he says this, I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers. Those are those who practice witchcraft and enchanters. Against adulterers. Adulterers are sexual deviants. Against liars. Those who swear oath and don't keep it. Against those who exploit, work deception. Against wage earners and widows and orphans. And against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. But Malachi also says, God is listening, not just hearing. Do you hear that this morning? God is listening, not just hearing. I love it that the faithful have a place in God and he listens to us and he hears us and they will be precious treasure is what the jewels mean. They will be a precious treasure and they will be and he writes our faithful talk and action in his book of remembrance. And that they and we will be precious treasure. I love it when they use the word jewel, but sometimes that doesn't make sense. We become his jewel. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, my treasured possession. And I will spare, I will show mercy to them as a man spares and shows mercy to his own son who serves him. For me, holding the truth through these times of possible despair, when sin is all around us and people want to exploit us and take advantage of us and attempt to brainwash us until they realize we're not listening to them. We're going to listen to God. And then they accuse us and try to hurt us because we stand for righteousness. And he will not forget that. Your pain will not be forgotten. Your standing for righteousness will not be forgotten. Your willingness to choose the right things at the high cost will not be forgotten. Your fighting off temptations will not be forgotten. Your treating others with grace and love will not be forgotten. Your taking hits from non-believers will not be forgotten. Your love for others and serving them will not be forgotten. Doesn't that sound good? Sometimes we think we're all alone, don't we? It's all being written in God's book of remembrance, and that's our hope. He's listening to you, and he's listening to me. And in that day, when we become his precious treasure, it will all become clear to us because our thinking will be clear. And so in verse 18, he says this, but then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Listen to me. Right now, our thinking is messed up, isn't it? Let's just be honest. We look at it and we think, well, is that righteous or not? Is that a good thing or not? Is that what God would want or not? Why do we ask those questions? Because we're so involved in this world that we don't quite understand it. And that day, when he reads the book of remembrance, we're going to know righteous between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who doesn't. We're going to know the mind of God in that sense. But we have to make a choice as to whom and what we will follow. So let me ask you this question, because we're going to do the Lord's Supper. And I just want to ask you this question to have you think about it. What is your commitment to, Christian? What is your commitment to? Lord, help us. This morning, as we listen to Malachi and we realize that you are listening to us and you are writing this down in a book of remembrance, and that you're going to celebrate with us those times when we make the right decisions, when we do the right things before you. Lord, I think it's just awesome to think about the fact that when we get there, we'll have such a clarity between righteousness and sin, between who follows and who doesn't follow. And Lord, through all that, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.